This morning we'll continue our study in the book of Romans, continue to see how we are to apply righteousness, obey the instructions of God that we've seen here in the book of Romans so far. We'll start with verse 11 today, start a new paragraph, so if you'll stand with me and read along with me, Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 11. Verse 11. Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time that we have together. We thank you that we can freely come and worship you. Father, we thank you for your grace, unmerited favor. You have lavished us with your love, your kindness, and your grace. Father, we also recognize your mercy, unmerited escape from the wrath to come. Father, we love you because you first loved us. We commit ourselves to you. We commit this time to you. Father, I ask that this time would be beneficial, productive, that your Spirit will convict us of our sins, will prompt and lead us into obedience to you, regardless of the messenger, Father. We love you. We thank you. In the name of Christ Jesus, our risen Savior. Amen. In 1969, Robert Lamb is the lead singer, songwriter of a group just starting out. Wrote a song, debuted on the group, the band's debut album. The album is named the Chicago Transit Authority. The band was named after the same, later became known as just Chicago. And the song that Robert Lamb wrote on that debut album launched the success for the next two decades of this band. The name of the song was "Does Anybody Really Know What Time It Is?" You remember that song? Some of you may. I want to remind you the chorus of that song. And no, I'm not going to sing it. I'll read it to you. It's short. It's reflective of the times. 1969, 70s. Does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody care what time it is? If so, I can't imagine why. You know, although we're not caught up in the Vietnam War and the social issues of that day, I can't help but imagine with all the issues we are caught up in today. Does anybody really know what time it is? Do we have any idea what time it is? Well, our text this morning addresses the time, the reality of what time it really is. So let's look at it. Romans 13, 11. Do this. First word, do, is an action word. Indicates action. Do something. It's a command. Not a suggestion. Indicates action. Do this. What's the this? Do what? God's telling us in Romans 13, 11, do this. What's he talking about? The previous paragraph, maybe? Love your neighbor. Love those who are different than you that we talked about last week. Yes, he is. But he's also talking about all of it. All the applications of righteousness we've talked about that God's given us instructions on since chapter 12, verse 1. So let's do a little review and go back there. Do these things. Chapter 12, verse 1. Present your bodies living, holy. Remember that? As a living, holy sacrifice. Worship God. Your spiritual service of worship. Worship God with your life. Worship God by serving Him. Do this. Verse 2, be transformed. Do this, be transformed. Verse 3, think properly of yourselves. Not too highly, not too lowly. Think properly of yourselves. Do this. Verse 4 through 8. Use your gifts, your talents, your abilities, your spiritual gifts from God. Exercise them. Serve God with them. Do this. Verse 9. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Avoid evil like the plague. Avoid it. Hate it. Do this. Verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. 11, be diligent. Serve God diligently. Verse 12, be joyful, persevere, devoted to prayer. Verse 13, be charitable. 14, bless those who persecute you. A lot of instructions we've gone over in the last few months, isn't it? Verse 15 and 16. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be compassionate. Verse 17. Never pay back evil for evil. Do this. Verse 19 through 21. Don't take your own revenge. Do not take your own revenge. Love your enemies. Chapter 13, verse 1 through 7. Submit to your authorities. Chapter 13, 8 through 10. Love others, even those who are different than you, your neighbors. Do this. Do all that. We're to do all that. We're to live transformed. We're to live righteously. We're to live in such a way that reflects who Christ truly is. We're to live to be a testimony of Christ, a witness to the transforming power of Jesus Christ. We're to live supernaturally, with the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us. We're to live as light in a dark world. We're to live holy in an unholy world. To live with peace in a world of violence. And we're to live with love in a world that hates. We're to do all that. In other words, we're supposed to live like true born-again Christians, not the hypocrites that the world is used to seeing. Do this. Live this way. Transformed lives. Do this and do it now. Not tomorrow. Not sometime later. Not after school. Not after I graduate. Not after earn a little bit more money, close the deal, make the sale, get the promotion. Do it now, especially don't wait until you feel like doing it. It'll never happen. Don't wait to obey God when you feel like it. Obey God. Do it, and do it now. Feelings come later. It's like working out in the gym. It's like the athlete who goes to work out every day because he has a goal in mind, a goal to achieve. He gets up every day, goes to the gym, does the workouts, not because he feels like it, because he's committed to the goal, committed to the change, committed to achieve. So it is with the Christian life. God expects us to live a transformed life, to obey the instructions, all those instructions in chapter 12 and 13. And there's more to come, and there's more elsewhere in Scripture. To be obedient. We obey God first, then the feelings come. Then you feel good. You ever been to the gym, spent hours, just you're spent, man. You work yourself to death in the gym, and afterwards, you're exhausted, but you feel great. So it is with obedience to Jesus Christ. Don't wait till you feel like it. Do it, and do it now, okay? Why now? Let's keep reading our text. Verse 11, do this knowing the time. Do you know what time it is? I know some of you are already looking at your watch. Boy, when is Pastor Chip going to be through today? Odds are not at 12. What time is it? I'm not talking about your watch. I'm talking about God's watch. God's timing. Let's keep reading. Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you. It's your time. That's what time it is. It's your time. It is already the hour for you. It's your time. Now is the time. Time for what? Let's keep reading. Doesn't matter what I say. It matters what God says. Do this, knowing the time that it is already the hour for you to do what? To wake up. God is telling us to wake up. He's saying we're asleep. We are non-responsive to Him. We're sleepwalking. We're zombies. We're non-responsive to what God's telling us to do, what God expects us to do. And He's saying, wake up. It's time. It's your time. It's time to wake up. Not go through the motions, but to respond to God. We haven't really applied righteousness, have we? Not fully. We put into practice righteousness. Not fully, not the way God expects us to do it. We're not living transformed lives. Not to the degree that God expects us to. We're asleep on the job. We're asleep on the job. And God's telling us to wake up. God's screaming at us to wake up. We know better, don't we? Most of us know better. Man, we've been Christians a long time. I've been a Christian since January 17, 1971. That's a long time. Some of us, not so long. But most of us, if not all of us, we know better. We know what God expects. We've heard it. We've seen it. We've read it. We've just become numb to it, haven't we? We're non-responsive. It's like we're asleep, sleepwalking, like zombies. We're not doing it. God says, wake up. live the life I expect you to live. It's your choice. You know. Listen, we know. You know God expects us to stop sinning. Romans 6, what shall we say then? Are we to continue to sin? Grace may increase, may it never be. How shall we who have died to sin still live in it? God expects us to stop sinning. We know that. So do it now. God expects us to study the Bible, doesn't he? You've heard that before. We know that. So do it. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who is not ashamed, accurately handling the word of God. That's God's expectation. Study it. Know it. So you can accurately handle the word of God. We have any references for anybody on the screen? That's fine. I know I'm going fast. 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. That's the expectation of God. Not sometimes, always. Be prepared. That's work. You may not know it. Get to know it. Study God's word. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. Do it. You know God expects you to memorize Scripture. Deuteronomy 6:6. God says, these words I am commanding you today shall be in your heart. Deuteronomy 6:6. 6:7 says, parents, teach them to your kids. It's your responsibility. God expects us to memorize Scripture. Colossians 3:16 is great. Listen to this. Let the words of Christ richly dwell in you. How are they going to dwell in you unless you memorize them? That's what God expects. That's what a transformed life does. We know it. We've heard it. Man, don't get numb to it. Wake up and do it. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart, treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Expectations of God. Memorize Scripture. Let us do it. How about praying? You know God expects you to pray. 1 Timothy 2:8, therefore, let every man in every place pray. Let all the men everywhere pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. James 5:6, pray for one another. Romans 12:12, be devoted to prayer. We know it. We got to do it. We have to wake up. And the big one, you know God expects you to go tell others about Jesus Christ. Hit the streets, man. Matthew 28:19, go and make disciples, all the nations. Acts 1:8, be my witnesses everywhere, here, there, and everywhere. That's a loose translation. 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God is speaking through us. We're God's messengers. We're his ambassadors. He expects us to tell people. You know that. It's nothing new. You don't do it. We don't do it. We don't tell people about Christ. It haunts you. You feel guilty about it because you know you should and you're not. You know why I know you're not? I can see the evidence of you not. A little harsh? Man, we know better. Do this knowing the time. It's your time. Do it now. Back to our text. Verse 11. Do this knowing the time that it is already the hour for you to wake up. For now salvation is nearer to us than we believed. Why is God telling us to wake up, to get to work, to practice righteousness, to obey the instructions? Because now salvation is closer than ever before. The realization of our salvation, the realization of us meeting Christ, is closer than it's ever been before. Since I've been saved, today I am closer to being plucked out of this world and meeting my Savior. I am closer than ever before, and you are too. Salvation, the realization, the reality of our salvation is closer than ever before since we first became Christians. You understand what God's telling us in this text? Look at verse 12. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. What day? The day we meet Jesus. You know what God's telling us here? The end is near. The end is near. It's a warning. It's like the street signs. Road closed ahead. Bridge is out. The end is near. Wake up. Don't be caught sleeping at the wheel. In reality, there's two ends. You know that? There's two ends. So let's talk about the two ends, because God's saying the end is near. First end is your end. The end of your life. Here on earth. Here's a sobering fact. 10 out of every 10 people die. Not rocket science, is it, guys? 10 out of every 10 people die. It is inevitable, isn't it? It's unavoidable. No matter what happens, no matter what you do, it's inevitable. Not a pleasant thought, I understand, but a reality. The bridge is out. The road is closed. The end is near. 300,000 people every day die in this world. That's a lot of people. 300,000 people die every day in the world. That's over 3 per second. 1/1,000. 2/1,000. 6, 7 people died. You getting the picture? A little urgency? According to the government of Tennessee, 28 people every day die in Knox County alone. That's more than 1 hour here in our own county. That means by the time some of you have been at church and Sunday school and worship, it'd be over 2-3 people dying in our own community. Sobering. Reality. We have to wake up. Who are these people? The people we pass by every day. People we see to and from work. People we see at work. People we see at school. People in our neighborhoods. People we work with. And they die. because the end is near. And just like you, they die. They will die at some point. It's inevitable. And most people will die and burn in hell forever. A literal lake of fire. Unless maybe we wake up and we tell them about Christ. That's the first end. The second end is what? You're a step ahead of me. I know you guys. The end is of the world. Prophetically, the Bible tells us the end is near. The end of the world will happen. Over 300 verbal predicted prophecies about Christ alone. You know the batting average? 1,000. 100% so far from Scripture. There's a few left about his return. I'm pretty sure they'll come true as well. The end of the world is near. Listen, even science tells us that. Second law of thermodynamics says that rust happens, decay happens, things wear out, including this world. The sun is shrinking. You know that? The earth is rotating, it's spinning, and every year it slows down. No matter how you slice it, the end of the world will happen. Scripture tells us that judgment will happen, wrath is coming, it's inevitable. It's unavoidable. It's not pleasant to think about, but it's a reality. Turn with me to Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter 13. Mark, chapter 13, verse 33. Take heed, keep on the alert. This is Jesus talking. For you do not know when the appointed time will come. Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. Verse 34, it is like a man away on a journey who upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on alert. Therefore, be on the alert. For you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midday, midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning. 36, in case he should come suddenly and find you what? Asleep. Wake up. Bridge is out. Road closed. What I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert. June 7th, 1967, Six-Day War, Israel. All the surrounding Arab nations are attacking Israel. There's just barely a nation at this time. Don't even have all the promised land at this time. And on June 7th, 1967, Colonel Mordecai Gur led the 51st Paratrooper Brigade into Jerusalem at the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, the Temple Mount, and captured that Temple Mount. Pushed the armies back across the Jordan River and got Israeli control of Jerusalem for the first time, June 7th, 1967, the first time in 2,000 years. Thus fulfilling biblical prophecy, the last piece of the puzzle before the return of Christ. The return of Christ is imminent. It can happen any minute. The end of the world is near. There is nothing left on God's prophetic calendar to happen until the return of Jesus Christ, the rapture, when we will be plucked out, caught up. Rapio in Latin, that's where we get the term rapture from. The dead in Christ will rise first, and those alive remain will be caught up with Christ in the clouds, and that will trigger all the last events of God's prophetic calendar. Tribulation, Armageddon, millennial kingdom, eternal state, and we will have a new earth and a new heaven because the end of the world is near. What's the point? Any second, the end. At any moment, the end. No matter how you slice it, your end or the end of the world. I'm not saying that for you to panic or to be frightened. I'm just telling you what Scripture says. That's the truth. Unless you're here without Christ. Unless there's never been a point in time when you've repented of your sins, put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior from your sins, then that would scare me to death if I was you. But if you've done that and you're truly a born-again Christian, that's not said to scare you. It's said to wake you up for a sense of urgency. Don't let Satan deceive you. There is nothing more important than living a transformed life and telling others about Christ. It is of the utmost importance. God is screaming at us to wake up. We know better. We have to respond to God. Don't let Satan distract you. That is Satan's job on earth, deceive and distract. Well, Chip, I know the truth, man. I've been in church for 20, 30 years. That's great. Apply it. Do it. Don't get distracted. Guys, we live in the most distractive society, generation on the planet and in history. There are more things pulling at your time and your attention than ever before. Don't let Satan distract you from that which is important. Do you know Christ in a saving way? Are you truly born again? If you are, God says, I'll see some fruit. Banana trees don't bear oranges. Are you growing in Christ? Are you living a transformed life? You know better. Let's wake up and do it. And are we hitting the streets, man? Are we going out and telling people? Do you understand the urgency? People will die. People are dying without Christ. We are God's ambassadors. Let's pray. This is your time to respond, to wake up, respond to God and His message. I appeal to you in the same sense of urgency to wake up. Respond to God. Come down front. Make a public profession that I'm going to be a zombie no more. I'm going to do that which I know I should do. I'm going to have a sense of urgency about my life. I'm going to live the way God expects, even if I don't feel like it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you thankful that you love us, knowing that you love us, even though you know us. You know how much we fail you. How much we fall short. How hard-headed we are. How numb to it all sometimes we get. How distracted we get with life. Things of this world. Father, we thank you that you love us. If we confess our sins to you, that you are faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. So, Father, I come to you asking for forgiveness for not living a life of urgency. We're not allowing you to transform our hearts as you desire. Father, I pray that you will encourage us to do that which we know. That we would wake up. Father, it's like being in a ship that's sinking. We're sitting around a ballroom dancing, or sitting around a pool sipping drinks, and the ship is sinking and people are dying. Father, help us to get a clue. Get out some life rafts. Put on a life preserver and dive in and save some people. Through your power, power of your Spirit, stir our hearts, God, to action so that we can do this, do that which you tell us to do. And that we'll do it now for your glory and your honor, Father. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.